Madhouse, Wisconsin, from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Common Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, where it's another beautiful day up north. Little on the cloudy side, little cool, 56 degrees for folks listening on 93.5 The Tap, 53 in Green Bay, 48 in Hayward, and just nice to have you along all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up on the program this morning, chaos in the Kreitloh household. Will explain for those folks watching on video why I appear to be doing the show from the kitchen table today. Also, the MAGA minions are making battle plans. You see, when Richard Nixon violated the Constitution, leading Republicans, members of his own party, told him he had to resign the presidency. How the times have changed. Leading Republicans in Congress today are not only making excuses for Donald Trump, who today formally becomes a federal criminal defendant. Those same Republicans are promising revenge, and we'll discuss what could come next and its impact on all Americans. In much lighter news, Christina Lurie will be around in about a half hour with the uplift, some of the positive stories from our daily newsletter, including the reasons your employer might want to consider a four-day work week. Then in our second hour, advisory referendums are under examination. The same legislative Republicans who just used advisory referendums in April to boost turnout for a conservative state Supreme Court candidate now want to restrict local units of government from holding advisory referendums. Another classic case of democracy for me, but not for thee. We will talk to Hans Breitenmoser and Elizabeth McCrank all about that. Along the way, phone lines open for questions and comments at 844-967-2789. And you can tap something out instead and email it to us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Aaron Zommers is in Madison joining us as well. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
I say that as I take a sip from my new coffee mug that you can probably see through the video monitor there. But since you don't watch Ted Lasso, this doesn't mean anything to you, does it?
No, it does not.
It is Roy Kent. And it's just Roy Kent on the mug saying, "Oi!" And if you don't watch the show, it means absolutely nothing. If you watch the show, you go, "That's cool. Where'd you get that coffee mug?" From my younger daughter, early Father's Day gift. Knowing that both Sherry and I have said the one thing that Ted Lasso has done, the series, is helped identify our spirit animal. And our spirit animal is Roy Kent. And that's really all I can say about it, because every other word out of his mouth is a bad word that you can't say on the radio. And fortunately, I have the discipline not to say that word right now. But you have an idea of where I'm going with that, Aaron.
Yeah, I have some thoughts.
and honestly, and I don't know what clips are out there for people that don't watch the show, but I have to believe there are clips of Roy Kent, the actor who I should know better so I could give him proper credit. And by the way, the actor, super nice guy. But boy, does he play, you know, the human form of Oscar the Grouch on the TV show. But as for, you know, sitting here at the old kitchen table, and so far, because it's still just barely sunlight out there, you can't really tell behind me. But there's all kinds of furniture stacked back there and all kinds of furniture stacked in front of me. There are mattresses and headboards here in the living room and the contents of closets all over the place. And no, we're not moving out. Brett Goldstein. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. Brett Goldstein is the actor that plays Roy Kent. But we are, as I may have mentioned before, recarpeting the house. And of course, the entire house, because why would you make things easy on yourself? We've always said, let's just go for it. So we did. And it's going to be great when it's all done. But in the meantime, it has involved moving everything out of carpeted rooms into either the kitchen or the living room that are hardwood floors, or all but one of the bathrooms. And I got to say, these folks from Independent Flooring up here in Eau Claire who are doing the work, they understand Tetris, because they can pack stuff into a bathroom like nobody's business. I mean, there might be bodies buried back there for as well as they were able to stuff furniture and things, you know, using every bit of space to get things out of the way and get the carpet in there. So it's going to be nice. But I think people on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter watch throughout the course of the day as the sunlight comes in a bit more, they're going to say, "Is he a hoarder?" But he's not. simply waiting for the carpet guys to come a little bit later on today. The Up North News Daily Newsletter has come out as usual. At least I think so. Let me go look at my email box. Oh, look, there it is now. And Christina Laurie, who puts the newsletter together, will be joining us in just a bit. Let's see. Let me scroll down through here. We've got some hidden gem restaurant surveys that are in there. A well-known comedian who's coming to Wisconsin. 8 vintage stores to visit around the state later this year. Let's see. And I believe, yes, there at the bottom is my editorial entitled Trump's Criminal Charges Are Serious, But What Could They Mean to You? And of course, I don't want to give that away, but you as a Wisconsin resident, you actually, there is a lot at stake in what's going to be happening to Donald Trump in federal court. And there's a reason why every eligible voter in Wisconsin should be paying attention. Oh, and I see this. Pat Sajak is retiring as well. Given that I make jokes about old age, but I'm not watching Wheel of Fortune every night at 6:30 yet, so it doesn't impact me quite as much, Aaron. You, as somebody who, if people buy a vowel, they get 2 A's at the start of your name. I suppose Pat Sajak's retirement means a little bit more to you.
Perhaps. I'll have to watch some Wheel of Fortune. I've barely even seen any anyway.
It's right up there with Roy Kent in your TV viewing, isn't it?
A little more than that.
Let's take a little break here, and then we'll have some sports and Republican reaction to the upcoming federal criminal proceedings against Donald Trump next. You're up north. It has been a little while since I've heard the theme song to Home Improvement. Was that on your TV viewing schedule back in the day with Tim Allen?
That one I have seen. Okay. And every once in a while, some of my friends will look at each other and just go,
He did introduce that to the national vocabulary before he went and caught Dennis Miller syndrome. But Tim Allen turns 70 years old today, and we will have more birthdays and tunes coming up a little later on this hour. Aaron, I have good news. The Milwaukee Brewers did not lose another game last night.
Yay.
Hey, they were off. Yes. they're in the Twin Cities. They'll be taking on the Minnesota Twins 6:40 tonight at Target Field in Richland Center. You can hear the game on WRCE News from the Center, 107.7 and 1450 AM. And in the Fox Valley, catch the Brewers game this evening against the Twinkies on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 and 1100 AM. So they were off. Meanwhile, Luke Voit, who was released by the Brewers, a former big league home run champion, has now signed a minor league contract with the New York Mets, and he will report today to AAA Syracuse. Voit is 32 years old, and he has hit 221 with 0 homers and just 4 RBIs in his 22 games with Milwaukee, so we certainly wish him the best regardless. And in other sports news, the Denver Nuggets have won their first ever NBA title in the franchise's 47-year history after beating the Miami Heat in Game 5, 94-89. But Aaron, give the Miami Heat some credit. Again, remember, they were the 8th seed and then came in and knocked off the top-ranked Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics. I mean, they didn't get all the way, but for an 8 seed, how about that for a postseason?
Absolutely. And even in this game, they were doing great for a while. Although, if you ask my friend Ethan, who's a Nuggets fan, he'll say it was due to the officiating.
Well, you can always use that as a backstop if need be. But I guess the Jimmy Butler magic has finally worn out in Miami, at least for that postseason. I have no idea if that's a team that can stay together and do it again. But needless to say, they will be a force to be reckoned with if so. And then we'll see if the Bucks, with a new coach, can get back into the postseason and maybe run a little further into it along the way. All right, let's take a look at some headlines here, all of course related to the upcoming federal criminal trial of former President Donald Trump. He will be arraigned in a Miami courthouse today, but there may be a delay. Something will still happen, but there will be a question as to whether he has an attorney who is licensed in Florida. In Florida, as one person put on social media, imagine being so shady, you can't find a criminal defense attorney to work with you in Florida. Did nobody watch Miami Vice or Goodfellas or just about anything else? The lawyers are everywhere. But it appears when you have a history of not paying your attorneys and basically abusing your attorneys and not telling your attorneys everything, at some point, I guess your luck runs out. And that appears to be what's happening with Donald Trump finding a local attorney to work with in the state of Florida. To the degree that that delays things for a federal trial, we have yet to see. But we'll watch what happens today. We'll be watching the crowd. Security is tight. There will be people protesting on his behalf. There will be people protesting him. And hopefully, despite the many fractures in this country, many of them caused by Trump, this will not lead to any kind of violence or anything else that's unseemly. As Republicans decide how to react, they're in a quandary they've been in, one of their own making, since 2015 when Trump first came down that escalator. There are some who are now recognizing, you know, that Trump is, from a political standpoint, a loser. He won one time, and even then, he didn't win the popular vote. He basically won on a constitutional technicality, if you will. And the only Republican presidential candidate that really seems to be saying as much is New Jersey's former governor, Chris Christie, who was the subject of a town hall last night on CNN and said to folks who keep making excuses for Trump, why don't you look at Trump himself?
It makes me feel even more important. I'm just telling you, I've known him for 22 years. The only thing he understands is force. The only thing he understands is coming right at him and making your case. And if these other candidates don't want to do it, the American people and Republican primary voters have to start to understand this. When did we get to the point where we're always blaming our adversaries for the weakness of our candidates? Oh, it's the Democrats' fault. It's DOJ's fault. It's this person's fault. It's the media's fault. How about it's his? He hasn't won a damn thing since 2016. Three-time loser. 2018, we lost the House. 2020, we lost the White House. We lost the United States Senate a couple of weeks later in 2021. And in 2022, we lost two more governorships, another Senate seat, and barely took the House of Representatives when Joe Biden had the most incompetent first 2 years I've ever seen in my life. Loser, loser, loser. Now we're getting going, it'll be different this time. Why? Why will it be different this time? Those arguments need to be made, and I'm not afraid to make them for two reasons. Well, one, I'm not afraid of him. And two, it's the truth.
There you go. There's New Jersey Governor Chris Christie on how it's Trump's fault. And he does keep losing. He listed all the things that he's lost, elections, House, Senate. He's also twice indicted, twice impeached. He's been adjudicated as a sexual abuser. And he can't stop confessing to retaining the classified documents that he stole. Again, the comparisons Republicans are making to Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton are false on their face, and these people know it. They know the differences in the cases, but they know that if they just say this lie enough times, enough people will believe it. For example, there's Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, who told a reporter that he hasn't read the indictment yet because, quote, he's not a legal analyst. Chuck Grassley, United States Senator, former chair of the Judiciary Committee. That Chuck Grassley, I haven't read it. I'm not a legal analyst. And then there's noted classified document security expert Kevin McCarthy, Speaker of the House, audio also provided on CNN, who said that, you know, Trump actually took care of classified documents better than President Biden did. By the way, his documents go back to his time as vice president or senator, and all were returned promptly when it was noted that they were mixed in with some not classified documents. But regardless, here's McCarthy trying to conflate the two and get the reason why somehow Donald Trump's scenario is better.
Was that a good look for the former president to have boxes in a bathroom?
I don't know. Is it a good picture to have boxes in a garage that opens up all the time? A bathroom door locks.
A bathroom door locks. Well, that's a skiff. You know, if that's not one of those secret facilities in armored buildings where you look at records, I don't know what is, other than that ridiculous photo of that bathroom at Mar-a-Lago, where the boxes were stacked on top of each other. And then boxes were moved even after Trump knew that the National Archives wanted those documents back. Why did they want the documents back? They had nuclear secrets. They had battle plans for the defense of the United States of America. There is no former president, no former president other than this guy, who would look at that and say, yeah, I can just leave that laying around in a box. Whether he showed the details to anybody, whether somebody got into Mar-a-Lago and got that information, all remains TBD, but it is still A, the recklessness of it, and B, the intentional obstruction of justice that has you wondering what it is about these Republicans that continue to stick with him other than hoping he can somehow help keep them in power. Presidential hopeful and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley has changed her tune a bit on Trump, saying at first when the news broke about the indictment, that the decision to pursue charges represented, quote, prosecutorial overreach, double standards, and vendetta politics. But now, she said in an interview with Fox News on Tuesday, if this indictment is true, President Trump was incredibly reckless with our national security. That's a bit of a shift from her, probably made easier for her because people like Chris Christie are speaking out as well. You know, very few people want to be the first to turn on a member of your own party. But it does happen and should happen. But it could get uglier yet from here. As noted by Greg Sargent in the Washington Post yesterday, House Judiciary Chair Jim Jordan of Ohio is looking at potentially harassing the prosecution by casting a wide net demanding documents. Now, Attorney General Merrick Garland may say, no can do. That is way too sensitive of information in the beginning of a trial with national security implications. But that would just put more pressure on Congressman Jordan to do more, like maybe even hold the Attorney General in contempt. And then that leaves it to House Speaker Kevin McCarthy to see if he really wants Republicans who are in close districts, districts that President Biden carried in 2020, would he really want those vulnerable members to vote for what Sargent writes is such a naked effort to derail an apparently damning prosecution? And if Jordan's antics produce little, he writes, it's plausible that MAGA Republicans could then demand the threat of a government shutdown, defund the government, and do it whatever else it takes to defund or otherwise hobble the prosecution. And so you have the Trump Republicans who we're not sure if they're just going through performance art or if they're wanting some actual results. But either way, it's going to lead to a split in the Republican Party between those who want to go through the motions of defending Trump without aligning themselves too firmly against the rule of law, and those who want the House to treat the fantasy of Trump's persecution as a genuine MAGA emergency and act accordingly. And if so, and they certainly are showing signs of being capable of it in recent days with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, then everything that we thought we avoided about 10 days ago in terms of a government default, we could end up seeing again as the next federal budget is crafted. Now, this one would not necessarily lead to default. It could lead to something arguably as bad or worse. You see, part of the reason that agreement came together about 10 days ago was the incentive on both sides that there would be punishing cuts on things each party likes, essential services from Democrats, and defense and military cuts for Republicans, each to be used to prompt them to come up with a better deal, with a deal that works. But if Trump Republicans derail all this and those cuts take effect at a time when Russia and China are making noise out there, how helpful are these Trump Republicans going to be to the rest of us? Let's take a break. The Uplift with Christina Laurie is coming up right after this break. You're up north.
When we're free to love anyone we choose, when this world's big enough for all different views, when we all can worship from our own kind of pews, then we shall be free, yeah. Oh,
we shall be free. Welcome to The Uplift. It's our weekly segment where we sit down with Christina Laurie, who puts together the newsletter for Up North News. You can subscribe to it at the website, upnorthnewswi.com, for some of the uplifting stories that you can find in there and in our social media posts as well. Christina, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me back.
Well, it's nice to have you here, but it's nice to have you here all 5 days of the work week, although I'm sure a few of us wouldn't mind if it was more like a 4-day work week. And I understand that's one of the uplifting stories. I hope uplifting means, are we like starting it this week or next week at our place or no?
I don't know. I feel like you have more pull here than I do. You have been here longer, but
I have declared my share of summer weekends, you know, where Friday about 1 o'clock, I kind of mentally clock out, but we're talking about actually making it official for employers who are saying that they can make that happen. Can it actually work?
Well, in all seriousness, to let your listeners in, our company is very forward thinking in this kind of way because they do encourage people to take time off. We both have unlimited PTO that we can use as long as we are still getting our work done. And more companies in Wisconsin are shifting towards that. And they're finding, thankfully, that it's really a win-win for both their employees, obviously, but their bottom line as well. So this company called Capri Communities, they run different assisted living facilities, 18 different independent living, assisted living, or memory care facilities across southern Wisconsin. And they've launched their 4-day work week, and they started it out of necessity. There's a massive nursing shortage. I know that we've both spoken about this in countless stories before, and they're doing it to attract more workers. So employees get to choose 4 8-hour days that they want to work every week, as long as they include 2 weekend shifts, because nursing, of course, is a 24/7 operation. However, even though they're only working 32 hours, they're paid for 40, and it's already working. Hiring managers saw an immediate spike in applications, 10 times the number they received this time last year, and they've been able to fill those positions, which they are essential. They're needed more bodies right now within weeks rather than months. So, Pat, I think that we should bring some of this data to our managers and push for this.
Well, I think they'd be very open and flexible to it. And I will say, having been a weekend anchor at a TV station where your weekend is either Thursday and Friday or Monday and Tuesday, that it is definitely doable. It has its, you know, ups and downs depending on, you know, family events or things like that. But that's a very intriguing twist on it. You know, four eights throughout the week, but you said 2 of those shifts have to be on the weekends, right?
Yes, for that particular facility. But this has been studied all around the world, actually. There was a giant study that released results earlier this year over in the UK, and they track 61 companies across a variety of different job sectors, and they found that company revenue increased by an average of 1.4% and by a much higher 35% when compared to the same 6-month period 1 year earlier. So, I mean, that's statistical proof that employee satisfaction not only retains more people, but also just like invigorates them to increase their productivity and helping companies' bottom line. So I really hope that this does catch on, because I know personally, when I have a shorter deadline, it's never a matter of whether or not I'm going to get it done. I will get it done, and I'll get it done well. I'll just be working more efficiently, and then I'll also be happier and be able to, you know, use your free time to do more enriching activities for yourself and your community. Maybe people can volunteer more. People can, you know, have more time to shop in person at small businesses in their community. I think the ripple effect of this could really be massive.
Pride Month is here, and we have more than a couple of uplifting stories about taking this time to provide support and respect for the LGBTQ community. So tell us about some of the stories you've been working on there.
Well, I just know that for me, it was always surprising when I first moved to Wisconsin to see how deeply rooted in the LGBTQ movement it has always been, because it's been very recent that Wisconsin is becoming a bluer state, but we've always supported these very liberal policies. Wisconsin was the very first state to ban discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. That was all the way back in 1982. We were also the first state to ratify the 19th Amendment, pass an equal rights law, of course, giving women more opportunities. And we've also led the way in electing members of the LGBTQ plus community to political offices. It started with Jim Yeadon. He was a Madison City Council member who became one of the first openly gay elected officials in the country back in 1976. Then 5 years later, former U.S. Rep. Steve Gunderson became the first Republican to serve in the House of Representatives when he was openly gay. And then in 2012, of course, current Senator Tammy Baldwin became Wisconsin's first openly gay senator, as well as the state's first senator, period. So we've long been a pioneer in the Pride movement.
The progressivism, yeah, runs deep here. And I want to call people's attention to the Todd Alba Show. Last week, Wednesday, he had a fantastic segment, both with Senator Baldwin and Congressman Mark Pocan, in talking about being LGBTQ members of Congress. And both of them also served on the Dane County Board, and they too talked about the early progressivism of Wisconsin voters. And actually, Steve Gunderson was going to be part of the panel as well, but he had to travel. And I covered Steve Gunderson quite a bit during his time as a Republican incumbent for the 3rd Congressional District. But it is definitely worth noting that despite all of the, whatever you want to call it, debates, contentiousness that we have today, that Wisconsin's pride roots really do run deep.
I just wanted to bring up something about the trans movement, because I think that often gets overlooked, especially this month. There's a super cool chef based out of Madison. His name is Dave Heidi. He has a restaurant. He's owned several restaurants over the years. You may have heard of Liliana's, Little John's, Charlie's on Main. Well, he rebranded. So he's named, let me backtrack. He named each of those restaurants after his kids. He has 3 kids. He had 3 restaurants. Each kid got a restaurant named after them. Well, Liliana's was named after his daughter. His daughter has since transitioned. They are now Ali. So he rebranded his entire restaurant. Liliana's is now Ali's. He, you know, that was a massive undertaking. And he did it to really put his money, quite literally, where his mouth is and wholeheartedly support his child. And that restaurant is doing really well. So I just want to promote that restaurant. If you're ever in the Madison area, check out Ollie's, because it has really good food, bottom line, but it's also run by a really good guy.
Yeah, very much. He is no stranger to stories here at Up North News, the things that he was doing early on in the pandemic to make sure that the community, especially essential workers, were being fed as well. And by the way, how far have we come from the days when parents would basically just throw their kids out, tell their kids, you know, we'll cut them off essentially from all contact, as opposed to incorporating, you know, their life and into their own work. And to see that from Chef Heidi is a fantastic thing. What else are we working on for Pride Month? You said there were several stories here to work on.
Yeah, I mean, there's just an abundance of things that we're always covering. We have a list on our website of 7 different LGBTQ-owned businesses across Wisconsin that we're directing people towards. And while you're also there, you want to take pride in your own father. We also have a Father's Day gift guide of gifts that give back. And several of the shops on that list are also owned by members of the LGBTQ plus community. And I did want to just point out a little side note here, because I was a bit alarmed by the number of comments that we're getting on our social media channels anytime we post anything about Pride. There are so many comments from people that are still not on board with this, as if we're asking them to get on board. You can climb on board or you cannot, but honestly, I'm alarmed, but I kind of wish I cared about anything as much as people who don't know other people care about them marrying whoever they want to marry or
and want to share them. And want to share their, you know, disapproval of it.
I've never cared about anything that much in my life. So maybe I'm missing out. Maybe I need to get more passionate about some topic, but I just don't know what about this topic in the year 2023 is so just elicits a vitriolic reaction. It's really bothersome. So if you are listening to this, I know that you are not among the problem. So I'm talking to the wrong people. But something that you can do, if you ever see a comment about this, whether it's on our pages or another page, it would be great just to post something positive. Love is love. Some kind of message, or just share a link to a Pride business that you like. Just anything. Don't engage in the debate because we're not going to change their minds. But if we can share more positivity, that's the entire purpose of this segment between us, Pat, that would be great. And I know you have some great listeners, so I'm hoping that they'll get on board with this as well.
Oh yeah. And it's completely in line with our motherhood segment last week, in talking about sometimes the best things you can do is to be an ally when there's not, you know, a lesbian or gay or trans person in the room. It's to basically look at somebody and let them know that, you know, their comment wasn't appropriate or their joke wasn't funny. And you don't have to be confrontational. It's just that you're showing support and not just, you know, laughing off the bigotry. You can see all of this and more in the comment sections, in the social media posts, and especially the newsletter that Christina puts together. And she would happily take your news tips as well. Christina Laurie, that's all one word. And I was asked last week to spell out Christina as well. Turns out I completely forgot there are a few K's out there. And State Representative Christina Shelton with a K from Green Bay is probably one of those right now noticing. So it's Christina with a C-H. C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A. Laurie is L-O-R-E-Y. If you're watching the live video feed of this on Facebook right now or on YouTube, you can see it right there at the bottom of the screen. Christina Laurie at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Have a great day.
You too.
Christina's point is very well taken, that the comment sections of social media have produced more toxins into American society than almost anything short of, you know, right-wing radio and TV. And in all cases, it's an instance where decades, you would almost say generations of progress are being undone by folks who, as Christina put it, you know, don't want to get on board, which is a very, you know, gentle way of calling out bigotry, racism, sexism, you know, xenophobia, whatever the case may be. And so I really want to tip my cap to her for bringing that up. If you're going to put a comment on social media, if you don't like something, you know, you don't have to be mean about it. And if you do have to be mean about it, don't be surprised when there's pushback, but it really doesn't help anybody. We had State Representative Deb Andraca on last week from Whitefish Bay, and I just wanted to follow up that she teased, and indeed legislative Democrats followed through yesterday on reintroducing a package of gun safety legislation to address rising murder rates and all kinds of, you know, gun violence incidents in Milwaukee and elsewhere, certainly to also address what we're seeing across this country. Attorney General Josh Call was part of the news conference, along with Andraca, State Senator LaTanya Johnson, State Representative Sheila Stubbs, and they all are part of the Legislative Gun Safety Coalition. It's a very common sense package. Attorney General Call said that inaction is acceptance of the status quo, and the status quo on gun violence is unacceptable. We need the legislature to step up and take action. And as noted in a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Tyler Katzenberger, the bills would expand background checks, you know, close up a bunch of those loopholes for private vendors, online sales, gun shows. There would be some exceptions for antique firearms, gifts, inherited firearms. But in terms of being able to avoid a background check on a new gun, as LaTanya Johnson put it, no one, and I mean no one, should be able to avoid a background check simply by purchasing a gun from an unlicensed seller. And if you want to hear more of that interview that I did with State Representative Deb Ondraka, you can go to civicmedia.us and look for the Up North News show and look at a listing of all of our hourly shows and guests. We'll have This Day in History and a little music break coming up for you right after this little commercial timeout. You're up north. Time for today's history lesson and music break. We will start with the anniversary of Jagged Little Pill and Alanis Morissette.
Do I stress you out? My sweater is on backwards and inside out, and you say, how appropriate.
One of the more successful debut albums in music history, and one of the more noteworthy sophomore jinx curse examples from Alanis. So hopefully she did a lot with the money at the time when the album came out this day in 1995. This is the 83rd birthday for Bobby Freeman. He had a hit in 1958. He was born June 13th is today's date, 1940, in Northern California. And this is what his hit sounded like back in 1958. There's our bongos again.
Bongos never stop.
Bongos never end. Bongos are good here on this show. Now, we will hear Bette Midler's version at 7:15, a much slower, much more sultry version, and one I never get tired of hearing. Other birthdays, we mentioned Tim Allen earlier, is 70 today. Brat Pack member Ally Sheedy is 61. You might have first seen her in War Games and then The Breakfast Club, Short Circuit, St. Elmo's Fire, Made to Order. Also turning 61 today, ESPN anchor Hannah Storm. The lead singer, songwriter, guitarist of Weezer, Rivers Cuomo, is 53 years old today. I have to get used to that. Somebody in a band named Weezer is now approaching their mid-50s.
Yeah, but he'll still sing like he's a teenager, or attempt to.
Well, he will for a little bit longer, but at some point you reach this age where you go, I'm saying all the same words, but now I'm at an age where it just sounds creepy.
So, I don't know. If I had to guess, I don't think he's ever going to change that because it's already kind of creepy sometimes. I say that as a Weezer fan. No one hates Weezer more than Weezer fans.
Good point. Chris Evans is 42, so he is best known for his recent work as Captain America in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which raises the question, can you be Captain America in your 40s? You know, where's the cutoff there? I mean, we know Tom Brady is playing pretty close to 50, but how long can you be Captain America? This is also the birthday for the twins from Full House, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. And you're thinking, well, wait, certainly they didn't have a chart-topping hit. No, but I was the parent of two young girls, and so we had our share of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen videos and songs, including this unforgettable classic.
I've got brains and I am the cute one. She's just my sister.
Yeah, it's a phase that, you know, you go through. Some people had, you know, Raffy as the phase. Some people had Barney. Our daughters had Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen for a time. This is the anniversary in 1988 of Paula Abdul releasing her debut album, Forever Your Girl.
Hey baby, you got to remember, forever your girl.
Plenty of hits on that one. Historically, this day in 1774, Rhode Island became the first British colony in North America to ban importing slaves. William Butler Yeats was born this day in 1865, Irish poet, Nobel Prize laureate. And Aaron, you noted the 1929 birth of Ralph McQuarrie, who passed away in 2012, an illustrator of note, apparently.
Yeah, he did concept art for a lot of different movies, most notably E.T., the original show for Battlestar Galactica, and Star Wars.
Okay. I thought that was interesting because somebody that I used to work with at Channel 13, his name is John Rubish, and he is an illustrator as well and does a lot of this concept art and every so often posts it to Facebook. And I have just been amazed at watching him, well, now for, you know, 25 years or so, watching his skill just continue to grow, and it's been picked up occasionally. And again, that's a, you know, obviously all artwork is amazing to me at one form or another, but some of these things are just, they have to be so visionary. You're basing it on nothing but what your imagination can concoct. So,
and somehow they can still make such consistent worlds that are different from other things they've illustrated.
Yeah, that's a very good point. All right, the 7 o'clock hour often starts with me saying that it's National Such and Such Day. I think yesterday was National Peanut Butter Cookie Day, if I remember. Wait a minute, what did Roger send us? Roger sent a note, no different than Ringo Starr singing "You're 16 today." Yeah, you're right. In the category of creepy songs that didn't age well, Ringo Starr singing "You're 16, you're beautiful, you're mine." There's a few songs like that about 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds that, gosh, seem so cute once upon a time. And I think we've kind of evolved a little bit. This is National Call Your Doctor Day, always the second Tuesday in June. And it is something that is meant to remind young women to schedule their annual Well Woman exam, because so many women, put work and family and other obligations before their own health. You can find no shortage of surveys that say that, you know, there's a huge percentage of Americans, you know, 80% in some cases, that delay or forego preventative care. That number only goes up when you're talking about younger and younger adults. So National Call Your Doctor Day helps set an example to establish a baseline for your health. Now, while this particular national day was set up for women's health, the simple fact of the matter is men are not much better at it. And folks watching The Secret Show on Facebook know I was chuckling during the commercial break because Aaron had my microphone turned off so he couldn't hear me asking him if there was anything sensitive in his medical history before I grilled him on whether he has seen a doctor lately or if he's like a lot of other men and they put off, you know, getting those wellness checkoffs. So, Aaron, if there was anything I wasn't supposed to ask you about, sorry, you should have been listening during the break.
Yeah, should have been. Well, I did go to the doctor recently, and it's because I did not have a primary care provider due to the fact that I don't live in Manitowoc anymore. And then also with the pandemic, I kind of already didn't really have one, but they kind of loosened the restrictions on when you can't see your pediatrician anymore. But anyway, now I finally got it sorted out.
So are you finally going to move beyond a pediatrician and get yourself a general practitioner or a family practice or an internist?
I do have one, yes.
All right. Very good. I will admit, let's see, I think I was about 30 or so when I finally figured out the difference between all of those, that you could go to a family practice doctor or an internist or a general practitioner. But again, it all because of the wonders of this country's health system has to do with what your insurance will cover or won't cover. Something unlike anywhere else in the world. And yet somehow we still managed to tolerate all the hoops that you had to jump through just to make an appointment, find somebody new.
Yeah, I just hope that when I have to switch off of my parents' insurance, which is obviously coming up in a couple of years here, that they will still let me to see or allow me to see the specialist I have for some conditions that I do have. So
yeah, well, I mean, you can see anybody. It's just that if it's not covered, you better bring a briefcase full of money because, again, the wonders of the American healthcare system that some people are still blocking. Much more in our next hour. You're up north.